instead of
just a topic I wanted to talk about with you guys at some point.
And also, my dad always asked me why this plane that was delayed a couple hours. It didn't land until 11 o'clock last night. So it's I didn't really have wanted to focus. I couldn't focus on the museum, so I'm going to do this, which is a topic that's related to all the shots. And that is, there's an assumption on every Talmud. What do you need? Sheets?
Yeah.
There's an assumption on every Talmud and Shas. Right? How could this Amora say this? How could Rabbi Yochanan say this? You know, doesn't say the Mishnah, doesn't say the Braisa. Ah, here's the Mishnah that supports him. So the question is, it sounds like on every Daf and Shas that an Amora is not allowed to argue on a Talmud. And the question is that really true? And if it's true, why is that? That's the assumption of many Kitanoi, Tufta, you know, Rav Tanu Palik. Rav was the border, right? Rav was the last Tan and the first Amora. So Rav is allowed to, Rav Tanu Palik. There's even a machlokas about whether you're home Rav Tanu Palik. But which we'll get to. So where does that come from? So let's start with the Rambam. Rambam is source number three in Hilchos Mamre. The Rambam tells us, Bezdin Gadol Shadarshu. The Bezdin Gadol. Bezdin Gadol Shadarshu. Who wants to start us off? It's been a while. Matt, start us off. You're always good for it. Okay, go.
Bezdin Gadol Shadarshu.
The Bezdin Gadol. Darshan is using one of the Yidul Midos. Meaning, we can't do this today. Like, we're going to Darshan of Zeir Shava. You know, I think it says the word sham and you know, but the Bezdin HaGadol, the darshan, the days when the Torah Sheba'al Peh was still, you know, in the creative stage when they darshan, and the judge did, yeah, continue.
I'm not a friend, it's not or he's a sorcerer, it don't come to Mashiach.
Oh, what does that mean? Every Bezdin in every generation could decide and change and figure out exactly what that love is. Yeah. Okay, a gzeira might be a spec. This is talking about a din daraisa. So if there's a din daraisa that they say this is how the Torah should be interpreted, you know, then that this is the din. So what a later bezdin could contradict what the earlier bezdin said. As the pasuk says, right, your door. So every generation, you can have an earl for sure. Let's look at the Mishnayos. You could have every mayor, every yakiva, arguing on each other. Tanoim, that's fine. That's not God's Lord. They have members of the Sanhedrin, and they can argue on each other. So this is the Rambam. Every Bezdin, right? Zera is different. But Drashas Chazal, right? Everybody can darshan how they see fit. So based on this, the answer to the mission, that's the obvious question. How do you understand Shas based on this Rambam? This isn't one of those like detailed questions on one source. This is a kasha on Shas, right? The Rambam says that every Bezdin could decide and make up their own rules based on how they understand. And logic and how they see fit based on the Yigdal Midos. See, that's a case of Mishnah. So why can't an Amora argue on a Tana? Right, they're a later Bezdin, and they're still in the Chazal. So that's the case of Mishnah's Kasha. Source number four says of Yosef Cairo, the Yim Tomar. Yim Tomar, you should not say it. I like the seat of yours. Excellent. Much better. Moving up in the world. Okay, go. Atanoi. So why don't Amoram argue on Tanoi? The Chavachol Tuchta, yeah, because in all places. Omi Raisa. Right, every page we say, we ask that an Amora from a Mishnah or a Raisa, the Tzorach Lamar, and we say, he has to find an opinion of Tanoi that he holds like. The Moyorik, and if he doesn't have any Tana that holds like him, Kashale is to be a problem. Alright? Continue. Look, if he did Rabbeinu, but according to the Rambam, continue. Question mark. According to the Rambam, and I'm already sure on the Rambam. That's the cash.
So let's read what the Kesset Mishnah says, and you'll tell me what you think it means, or how it sounds like.
And this is where, this is very gets very emotional in the Achronim, how to understand this Kesset Mishnah, this Rabbi Yosef Kaira. Okay, so here we go. What does he say? Go for it. Be F Shalom. Possible. Oh, you need to persevere. Oh, stop there for a second. Right? Since the days of the Chasimas HaMishnah, the generations accepted Kimu V'Kiblu Shedoras HaAchronim Lo Yachloku Al HaRishon. How would you translate that? Yeah. The later generations Lo Yachloku Al HaRishon.
Well,
how would you translate that? Be meduyik. Lo yachloku al harishonim. They wouldn't argue on the Tanakh. Meaning, you said the words, they wouldn't.
They won't.
They wouldn't. Meaning, can they?
They decided that they're not.
They decided.
Decided not to.
They decided. What?
They decided that this is been sealed, and now you can argue on it.
What? So you're saying two different things. Let me ask you: they wouldn't or they couldn't?
Once they decided that they
you're saying they wouldn't change it until they couldn't.
First they would. They decided that the rule is that you can't argue. So they decided.
They decided. They accepted. So
they decided that whatever came before us is finished.
What? So this is the machlokes between your kind Brisker and everybody else. Exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What? The lo yachloku. You also admit, Isaac, that the first step is that they wouldn't.
They decided not to.
They wouldn't. They decided not to, and therefore they made a rule that you couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to.
I need to hear the other side.
Okay. It says the lo the Kesset Mishnah says from the days of the Chasimas HaTalmud they accepted not to argue on the earlier generations. Lo yachloku. V'chein also gav Chasimas HaGemara. We'll get to that. Right. Also at the time of the Chasimas HaGemara. For Shemiyom Nechma lo nitan reshus l'shalom adem achokla. We'll get to that. But how do you understand this? Ef shalomar. This is a question that Rabbi Chanan Wasserman asked Rabbi Chaim. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, remember one of the great Achronim, or the Kovitzes, Kovitz Shirim, Kovitz Biurim, Kovitz Aras, all of Rabbi Chanan. They're all published posthumously. Rabbi Chanan was killed, Rachman al-Slam in the Holocaust. So all this farm that we have from Rabbi Chanan is from after, from Talmidim put together. So he has the Talmud of Rabbi Chaim and of the Chafetz Chaim, both. So Rabbi Chanan, in source number 5, asked this question, similar to this question, to Rabbi Chaim. See where it's underlined? The Dabar Zesh Alfi Mikvod Marina Rabbi Chaim Alei means that's something brisk. The Heshiv, look what he says. There's nothing magical about the Tanam and Yamaron, Rabbi Chaim says. Fundamentally, an Amora can argue on a Tanam. That which it says throughout Shas, we ask Kasha, from an Amora to a, from a Tana, Mishum Shamora, Eino Cholik Al Tana. He wouldn't argue on a Tana. But not that he couldn't, says Rabbi Chaim. And we assume that had he known the words of the Tana, he wouldn't argue on him. That's what the Gemara says. We have a Mishnah, and therefore because we have this Mishnah, it must be that if he would have known this Mishnah, he wouldn't have argued. Avim shecholik lehedya. But if you have an explicit case where he does argue, actually, right? It could be that we would follow the Amora. And then he says many times in the Gemara, when a Tana is stuck, he's pushed into the corner, he'll say, you know what? Zuhay the Mishnah. They'll say, oh, it's not authoritative. What are you talking about, not authoritative? Right? That's not fair. We're asking a kasha on you, and you say, oh, it doesn't count. What do you mean it doesn't count? Says Rav Chaim, because they fundamentally have that power. Really, like the Rambam says, every generation, you know, every bezdin in their power, that the power of Torah Shel Bal Peh, again, not us, but at least in the days of Chazal, they have the power to darshan various halachos, and therefore, the later generation could, but they wouldn't. And that's what the Gemara That's what the Gemara says. But again, don't leave now, because this is not so agreed upon by the Achronim. But he would understand the Kesef Mishnah as saying that they wouldn't. They wouldn't because, they assumed that they wanted to agree, so to speak. But if push comes to shove, and they wanted to argue, they wouldn't be able to argue. That's Reb Chaim and one understanding of the Kesef Mishnah. But
what happened when we were objecting?
Like, oh, I need to get the Mishnah. What happened? What do you mean? Like, when you say Tiyufta, Rabbi Yochanan Tiyufta, what's happening?
That's a great
kasha.
According to Reb
Chaim, what is Tiyufta mean? Tiyufta is stronger than just kasha. So Tiyufta would mean, right? He came that he forgot the, right? But, you know, it doesn't, the pashut shot of that is not like a prime. Let's just say that. But now let's see the other side, which is maybe what Isaac... You couldn't even fathom what Rukhaim said. Right? It's fine, because most Achronim, the Chazon Ish can't fathom what Rukhaim said either. As we'll see. Here's the Gemara. Where is the Gemara? We'll see the Chazon Ish in a minute. We'll start with the Gemara. As we're about to see, most Mefarshim assume that that's not the case. The Stimas, the Chasimas HaMishnah, when Moshe Yehuda Nasi put together the Mishnah and whatever other Tanoim formulated and codified it, that was a stage of the halachic Misora, right there, and that's it. There's a halachic stage, and therefore an Amora cannot argue on the time. And even though the Rambam says a later generation, that's within the same time period. But once there was the Ksivas HaMishnah and the line finished between the Tanam and the Amoraim, that's it. Can't argue. The Gemara can't argue. The Amor cannot just wouldn't. Where do you see that? Is that in Shas anywhere? Let's see a Gemara. An Agadic Gemara, which you say, what does this Agadic have to do with me? But it has halachic significance. It says the Gemara in two places. I gave it to you in Sanhedrin. Source number 6. Tanav Eliyahu. Simcha. Tanav Eliyahu. The world can be 6,000 years long. We're almost there. 5783. Right? Halavai, we should all live so long till 6,000. I don't know if that's going to happen. But that was Yeshua Khan. We should all continue. Anyway, 6,000 years long. Okay? Shnei Alafim Tohu. The first 2,000 years were nothingness. Tohu. Like Tohu Mavohu. Continue. Shnei Alafim Torah. The next 2,000 years was Torah. And Shnei Alafim Yemos HaMashiach. So how do we view this Gemara? First of all, did something happen at the year 2000? Like, why did Torah start in the year 2000? Like, what happened at the year 2000?
Avram
what?
Was 12.
Avram was born in? 1948. 1948, right? One of our... Well, great two questions I asked in camp. Two major events that happened in 1948. Okay. One of the Hebrew calendar, one of the English calendar. Okay. Anyway, so 2000, Avram was 52. So some Rashi says there are different stages. We should have discussed when Avram recognized the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when he started being a Farsi, maybe he was 3, maybe he was 40. One of the opinions is 52. So Torah, which doesn't only mean Torah, but it means monotheism. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being his word being sent out to the world. Avram started around the year 2000 spreading the word of God. And that's what it means Torah started. The Torah wasn't given until 448 years later. 2448 is when the Torah was given, Maimon or Sinai. So that was 500 years later almost. But Avram started around the year 2000, and that's what Rashi says. Rashi in Sanhedrin says. That's what it means Torah started. See, Avram ben 52 shana, 2,000 years, and then Avram Avinu was Osek, turning the page, Osek b'Torah, but never draws the Bechara. Fine. What happened in the year 4,000? Rashi says, what, Torah ended? Now it's Yemos HaMashiach? What does that mean? We don't want Torah anymore? Is this the year 4,000? So Rashi says, doesn't mean it. Sladavka. Doesn't mean Torah ended. It just means now it's also Yemos HaMashiach. Meaning the Mashiach can come during these 2,000 years. But it's not the same cutoff, like 2,000 and 4,000. That's what Rashi says on that Gemara. You see where it's underlined? Since it says 2,000 Torah, it says 2,000 Torah. V'lo shetich l'torah p'shtei alafim. But it doesn't mean that it ended. It's not parallel. But if you look in the Akron, look in the Marsha, source number 8, Marsha says something happened in the year 4,000. And that was an important stage that Torah, so to speak, ended in a certain way. What does it mean, ended? Torah didn't end. What are we doing today? When was the year 4,000? About 150 years after the Churban HaBayis. What? Shane. Just around that time was Ksivas HaMishnah. Ksivas HaMishnah. Yehuda HaNasi wrote Mishnah about the year, I don't know, 25, 250? Around the year 250, 300, we don't know exactly. Again, it was a process. Rebbe put it together, and his Talmidim says the Marsha, that's what it means, Torah ended. All the principles of Torah that we have in Torah Shabbat Peh are all found in the Tanaim. Everything else is application. The Amoraim are applying the principles that are laid out by the Tanaim. But there was a stage of Torah that ended at 4,000. Not Chas V'Shalom that we're not learning today. Of course, there's Torah. But there was a certain league, certain power of Torah, the stage of the Halachic Mesorah that ended at the year 4,000. That's what the Marsha on line 4. Kuf Ayin Beit Shonim Achar Bayesheni. So you see, it's 172 years after Bayesheni. Mikri Adayim Yeshnos Torah. I mean, source number 8. Right? We still have 172 years of Torah. Ki oz ha-yudor ha-tanoim. Right? The Tanam, Adayim ha-mesad ha-yeshivas. The Tanam were still the centralized Torah study until afterwards, when Rebbe died, and then, you know, Torah got became scattered for a couple hundred years, and then it went to Babel, and we had the yeshivas there. But he says, the Torah team also, the Torah lived 100 years after the Marsha, but he says that's what happened at the year 4,000. I mean, the Ksivas HaMishnah was a stage of the Halacha. And based on that, let's just finish this line and hold your question. Based on what the Chazon Ish says, an Amora is not allowed to argue on a time. It's not that they wouldn't. Not that they wouldn't. No, you can't. Torah ended. There was a stage that it's done. The Chazon Ish in source number 10. Ha'emes bazeh. Right? Shedor, and maybe Isaac, this is what you were saying. Shedor achar ha'mishnah, ro esmir alavavos. That generation recognized that self-recognition that they wouldn't get to the MS like the earlier generations would. And therefore, the yadol v'vetach shehaemes for all their rishonim. Right? They would, we wouldn't get to the MS. V'achar shiyadu amitas hadavar. She after she is going to MS. Once they realized that, they wouldn't be able to come to the MS. Right? They're not allowed to argue if they know that they would never get to the MS like the early generations would. In terms of darshaning the Torah, in terms of the Yud Gimel Midos. But Yishonim is called the Tanaim Shekhanah. They focus on all the Tanaim. Okay, and we're going to skip the next line for a minute. And then he says, I think that's what the Kesef Mishnah means. The Kesef Mishnah doesn't mean that. What? Remember what the language was? What was the language of the Kesef Mishnah? Lo. What's the language? Kimu v'kiblu. Shedoros v'achronim lo yachloku al harishonim. Lo yachloku. So the Reb Chaim thought that meant they wouldn't. Chazon Ish says that they couldn't. Because they realized that they wouldn't get to the MS. Like the earlier generations. Lo tova v'chesed im arishonim. It's not like covet. They have covet for the Tanaim. Not tova v'chesed. Ela emes chayim osa. It's vada. Ki ich nasa al daitenu. How could they act if they know that it would be wrong? Em yadanash al daitenu tzara v'ha emes eini tona. The emes wouldn't be with them. So the Chazon Ish, this is what most Mefarshim would assume, that an Amora cannot argue on a Tana. And it was a stage of Allah. Whether you say this was the year 4,000 or not, that's a beautiful, nice idea to put into the Gemara. But either way, this is what they assume. Ezra. Meaning even in the late Tanaim? Where's that, Rama?
I don't remember.
But I don't know. I mean, does the Gemara ever? I mean, the Gemara sometimes will ask how could a later Tana like Argon is ready, but otherwise, like every Tana can say whatever they want. Behir or Meir, like even if it's right, I think so. I mean, there are rules that we paskin like. But okay, there was another. That's stage one. The Ksivas HaMishnah. So what about the next? Was there any other stages? Could Rav Moshe Feinstein argue on the Rambam?
There's a stage on the Gemara.
What? Well, let's talk about the Gemara. Okay. Could Rav Sadia Gaon argue on Rav Yochanan?
Yeah.
Really?
So far, that's all we haven't discussed it yet. Yeah.
Where do
Rav Shmuel fit in? So Rav's on the board. That's what Gemara says, Rav Tanu Public. Rav is a student of Yudan Asi. So it's Mamash on the board. Rav is an older colleague than Shmuel. Rav started off at Eretz Israel and moved to Babel and became Rosh Hashiva and one of them, and then Shmuel was always there. But yeah, that was the border. That was the transition. So Rav can argue, Gemara says sometimes.
He did have the ability to ask?
Rav, I guess Rav was on the border. What? Rav and Rapir. Rapir was Rav's uncle. Yeah, so those early Amorim, late Tanoim, were on the border. He could argue. So again, yeah, that was the border. Okay, so let's get into the Gemara, and then we'll see if there's any other stages. Okay? So, Amorim can't argue on Tanoim. So what about later on? What about a Rishon arguing on a Gemara? So what sources do we have related to that? What about the Vilna Gaon arguing on the Gemara? Right? The Gra often argued on Pshatim in the Gemara. But as we'll see, he didn't argue on the Halach. He would give a different Pshatim. This just came up in the Yerushalmi a few months ago. The Vilna Gaon sometimes gave different Pshatim in a Mishnah than the Gemara does. But it doesn't, as long as it doesn't change the Halach. But he'll give a different Pshat in the Mishnah. But that's the Gra. No, we can't. We can't do that. So let's see the Rambam. So the Rambam is source number 11. I think we might have done this a few months ago on a Friday. The Rambam has an introduction to Mishnah Torah, where he goes through the beginning of the, you know, Shalshalas HaMasorah. He goes through the 40 generations from Moshe Rabbeinu to Ravina and Ravash. 40 generations. List off, everyone. Moshe, Yeshua, he goes all the way. Right, and so source number 11 I just gave you. He never went through it. It's a great thing to go through. Just 3 pages long that I've done. The Rambam, I've done it to Mishnah Torah. He says source number 11, Nimsa, Meiravashi, Moshe Rabbeinu, O Mashalom, Arboim Doros. And then he goes, lists them backwards, just in case he says it like twice. He goes, Ravashi, Rava, right, he goes all the way, Elisha, Elia, he goes throughout Tanakh also. All the way to Hashem. Right, Hashem to Moshe to Yeshua, etc. So there's a simple question on this, fascinating question, that Rav Soloveitchik quoted from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik asked, why did the Rambam stop at Ravina and Ravashi? Just by contrast, we have the Me'iri. The Me'iri, in his like Dama to Pirkei Avos, he also does the Shalshalas HaMasorah. And he goes from Moshe Rabbeinu until the Meiri, and I'm here in Provence. You know, I'm the Bala Masorah now in the 14th century. So it's not like the Rambam didn't know it. Let's assume that the Rambam could figure out from Ravashi to himself. So why the Rambam stop? Why the Rambam stop? Why didn't he just go through, you know, the continued generations? See what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said? Unbelievable. The Rambam's not giving us history. Give us the history book. Who were the great leaders of the Jewish people, you know, during all these generations? That's not what the Rambam is. This is Mishnah Torah. This is the introduction to Mishnah Torah. The Rambam is giving us a halachic principle. But we'll look back at the Rambam for a second. I just gave you the two lines in the Nefesh HaRav, where Shachar quotes this from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He quotes, the Rambam is telling us that there's a stage of the halachic Masorah that ends at Ravina and Ravash. Meaning, Chasimah Sagamara. Chasimah Sagamara. Shamati b'shem Magon Rosh Salveshik, the Rambam will only take on Pratim Shal Historia Ba'alma. He's not just giving the Pratim of history. Elo Lefareh as Ba'alei HaMasora. Right? He's being Lefareh, the Ba'alei HaMasora, a certain league of Ba'alei HaMasora. Alpidin, halachically, Shalpidin is Staima HaTkufa Shal Mesiris Torah Shabbat Peh, Beravina Beravashi. Right? Torah Shabbat Peh, in a certain way, ended at Chasimah Sagamara. But they put the Gemara together. Right? It's not just history, but it's like there's a certain league. Ravina and Ravashi are a certain league of Ba'alei HaMasora. Right? And that's what the Rambam says now. Right? If you look in the back of the Rambam, in source number 11, the Rambam says, see it on line 12, in source number 11, Nimsa Ravina and Ravashi v'chadeirehem. Ravina and Ravashi and their colleagues, Sof Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael. Hamatikim Torah Shabbat Peh. Right, they're the end of the great Chachmei Yisrael. They were great rabbis afterwards, but they were the end of the Chachmei Yisrael. Shagazru Gzeros. Very like 200 years after the Rambam is probably after the Gemara. It was one of the first Svarim that we have written. What Svarim do we have from the Gaonim? Not too many. After the Gemara, what was the next Sefer written down? Rav Sadia Gaon was a little bit later. Rav Sadia Gaon wrote Emunos Hadeos, philosophical work. That was basically the first philosophical work we're in history. The first, you saw the Sefer, yeah? What? The Siddur, Rav Amram Gaon. That's definitely up there, right? It's one of the unsung heroes in Jewish history. I once did some a couple years ago. I did it with in a different group. I read. Tell me, what do you think the top five, outside of Tanakh, you know, top five influential Jews in history? Some of them would agree on everybody's list, and some, depending who you are. So Rav Amram Gaon is underrated. He wrote the first Siddur. What do you say? I say, yeah, Rashi. Rashi's got to be up there. Rebudan Nasi.
Recounting Amar Rav.
Nassim Sherman, and Lotowitz, you know. So you have to art scroll authors. But anyway, depending who you ask. Anyway, I'm taking for everybody, depending who you ask. Anyway, so the Rambam says the Shiltos Rav Achoyo, right, also a very early work. That was the first sefer we had basically on Parsha. The Shi'iltos wrote a halachic, not the Shi'iltos, but Nitzin made the Shi'iltos famous, because he wrote a commentary on the Shi'iltos, the Hemek She'ila. But nobody learned the Shi'iltos before the Nitzin wrote a commentary on the Shi'iltos. I mean, most people didn't. But he wrote a sefer that people could learn, two or three halachic discussions based on every parsha. That was very early. But again, you can't argue, says the Rav Soloveitchik now, Chasimah Sagamara was a halachic stage in the Sefer, Ravina and Rashi. And you know what? It's even in the Shulchan Aruch. Turn the page for a minute. The Rama writes in the Shulchan Aruch. Look what the Rama says. Choshe Mishpat, this is Hilchos Dayanim. Noam, you got it? Hasei 13. Words on the line. Stop there for a minute. So what does that mean? If it appears to a judge...
From
clear rayas, it appears to a judge and his bez din, from clear rayas that the din is not like what's written in the poskim, yeah. Right? The shach sometimes will say, I think the Shulchan Aruch's wrong. The shach will say, I think Moshe Rishonim. Rav Avadi Yosef sometimes will say, I think this shach is wrong because there's 25 Rishonim that he didn't even know about, and I think, says the Rama, Yachal Achlokalav. A later Besdin, if they think that the earlier Besdin was wrong, even though it was reposted, they could go based on that. Why? One more line. If it's can't argue on Gemara. If it's a machlokes about Achronim arguing on Rishonim, right? A later Rishonim arguing on early Rishonim might not be a good idea. I don't think a Moshe Feinstein would just argue on the Rambam Stam. You know, but, or on a Rebbe Akiva Eiger, but sometimes Rav Moshe would argue on a Chasam Sofer, right? And Rav Asher Weiss argues on many acronym all the time. You know, he is not, you know, he is not reticent in that way. He's, you know, but Shader discovered Gemara. Can argue on the Gemara. Where does that come from? It comes from an Agadata in Bavitzia. I don't know if any of you are up to this yet. Way back, that Pevav. Pevav Mamsia. That's, you know, that's a long time. Maybe a Kaisman. Right? What does it say there? It's an Agadata. What does it say? Ravina, and the Gra quotes it in 14. Ravina Varavashi Sof Horaba. Right? Five words. So it's not just a halal in that context. It's, I think it's talking about like some safer than Avada Marishon, right? It says there, this is the history. But the Gras says, that that's the basis for this Ramah. Ravina Varavashi Sofo Rav. Ravina Varavashi, that's the end of this, a certain halachic stage. So you can't argue on the Gemara. Just like the Chazanish say you can't argue on the Mishnah, or you can't argue on the Tanoim, the Gemara was also a certain stage of the halachic Masorah. Right? So far we have two stages.
Yeah.
The Ebn Ezra is not the same, it's not writing Shulchan. The Ebn Ezra might be saying what Pashup Shot of the Pasuk is. But the Ebn Ezra, the Rashbam, many do that. The Ramban.
Yeah.
Many will keep Pashup on this, but Pashup Shot doesn't mean that's the Halacha. They will say, you know, I don't think the Rashbam would argue on all the Ma'amari Chazal about the brothers selling Yosef. Even though he says if you read the Pesukim very closely, the brothers never sold Yosef. They threw him into the pit, and then Yishma'elim come up and found him and sold him to Midyanim, and like what? They never sold Yosef? So again, the Rashbam says, you look at Pashup Shad of the Pesukim. So, but again, there's a reason the Torah says things in a certain way. But it doesn't mean that that's the halal. So that's not a, it's not an issue. Ah, there's a fascinating tshuva of the Noda Yehuda relating to this. It's a fascinating tshuva on many levels. For many reasons. I gave it to you in source 15. What's the question that the Noda Yehuda has? There's one of his talmidim is going out with a girl. Great, Baruch Hashem, wonderful. Problem is that the father-in-law and the son-in-law have the same name. So the Talmud asks, you know, is this an okay shidduch? This is an okay shidduch. I think I don't remember if it was the mother-in-law, or daughter-in-law, or son-in-law. Let's see. He says, Halayla zeh yia mechtavcha. Tonight I got your letter. Should show up a davar hashidduch. When did he live, Noda Yehuda? What? Late 1700s, early 1800s. Right, so the border, right? Chief Rabbi of Prague. So he says, for hashidduch, hamadubar v'kisatcha in Ben Torah, v'yachzad rak shemshas, chalyo, hashini shem shlo, shem avi apsula. Right? They even changed the name. Father-in-law, son-in-law. So is there any issue? So this is really, we're going to do the first paragraph, but I gave you the second paragraph too, because it's like a Shabbos Shuva type of Shuva, as you'll see here in the second half. But first, what did he say? Within the world of Noda Yehuda, it's a Shuva that's known. So he says, "Ule abascha in darki lachashiv in yana meilu." I usually, Noda Yehuda was a major halachist. He wrote many hundreds of Shuvas. He says, "I usually answer the answer to these kinds of questions because they're not based on halacha." Right, there's another tshuva, interesting, that somebody once said, I just remember now, another tshuva that somebody asked him, like, how do I do tshuva for this Avera? He's like, I don't know. You know, just like, how many fast days? It was a terrible Avera that he was doing. He was like Mezana for 3 years with a family member. So he says, even if you fasted the years of Mr. Shalach, it wouldn't be enough. But he says, I don't know what to tell you. He says, but do tshuva and learn Torah and give chesed. So he says, I don't usually answer these. So this is Shela and Shurik, the Talmud of a Poskim. He says, there's nowhere in Shas and Poskim that it says there's anything wrong with a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, or the opposite having the same name. Right? There's nothing in... He says, where does it come from? Where does it come from? Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, one of the Bali Tosfos. One of the Bali Tosfos, he wrote a famous will. He also wrote a Sefer, the Sefer Chassidim. Nothing to do with Chassidim that we know today. The Sefer Chassidim is written 900 years ago. One of the Balei Tosfos. It's quoted in the Rishon. So there, in his Tzava, in his will, out of the 40 things on the list of things in his will, he says, not a good idea. Not a good idea for to have a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, or, you know, father-in-law, son-in-law with the same name. That's where it comes from. So he lived, you know, he's a Rishon, one of the Balei Tosfos. He says, Da Talmidei Achaviv. Listen, my precious student. Moshe, want to read it? Listen, my precious student, where it's underlined. Let the following words that I'm about to tell you be engraved on your hearts. Nobody who lived after the Gemara is allowed to say anything against the Gemara. Okay, that's how it's related to our subject. The Omer Lister Kutso Yud, and if you want to argue on the little Yud, a little Yud in the Gemara, Medivri Talmud, you know what we're going to say about you? Lo Yechashet Bechal Chachma Yisrael. If any rabbi argues on the Gemara, he's not a rabbi. He's not one of the Bali Amasora, because you can't do that. So you have a choice. So what if you find a great rabbi who's Muchzak the Torah, who'll be Yerushalayim, and will be Safek, and he says something against what it says in the Gemara? So you have one of two choices. What are your two choices? Okay, good. Reread the Gemara. That's a third choice. Let's say you know for sure exactly what the Gemara says, instead of re-understanding the Gemara. That's true. That's another option. So either say he's not one of the Chachmei Yisrael, which you'd rather not say. You'd rather not say that. Or to say that he wasn't really paskening against the Gemara. He might be giving advice. He might be saying what he thinks is a good idea. But you can't say, you have to kind of like diffuse his shita, so to speak. Right? He says, Chayeban Arno Lumeshkoni Nashon Latari Zvara Shalodibe Rach L'Shah. He was only talking, you know, temporarily. Olam Mishpacha brought this to his family. And says of Yehuda, says of Yehuda. Again, this is a famous of Yehuda to be aware. It's famous if you know it, so we'll make it famous right now. Right? He says there are many things in that will that go against the Gemara. And he's one of the Bali Atosfos. Right? It says there that two brothers are not allowed to marry two sisters. You find Amoraim that will marry two sisters. Right? It says a number of things there. He says, you're not going to marry your niece. The Gemara Yavama says, it's a mitzvah to marry your niece. Yeah, we don't do it nowadays, but at least halachically, basachosa. So you find a number of things that are against the Gemara. So what you have to say is that he wrote this will not for Klal Yisrael, for his family. He saw, that's what the says, he saw Baruch Kadsho, that these zivugim wouldn't be old and yafeh, they wouldn't be good matches in Shamayim, and therefore he says, not a good idea. Right? This, by the way, you have a lot of things from Yudah Busted, you know, the cutting of fingernails, you know, in the order, and Friday, and Thursday, and toenails. So, you know, some of these things are Shodesh. But anyway, so, you know, Yehuda, you always have him to rely on. He says, this is not halachic, this is just what he wrote, because he can't argue on the Gemara. That's why it's important for our sugya. Because he says that's a davar pashut, you know, the Yehuda says. You can't argue on the Gemara. Right? You can't argue on the Gemara. And if someone's arguing on the Gemara, either, like you said, either reinterpret the Gemara, or basically reinterpret his words. Instead of saying he's not one of the Chachmei HaMesorah. Just while we have it open, he says, I'm on with your darko here, what I just said on line 15. Sivo Daradereski Rob Ruach HaKodesh, he saw in his Ruach HaKodesh, Zara Lo Yetzliach, and Sivo Gim Keila. These marriages wouldn't be good marriages of Ezeh, no Sosa Devi Atalmud. So he's saying personally, you know, what he sees, Ruach HaKodesh. But he's not arguing Malah. Just by the way, when he says at the end of the Tshuva, the end of 14, and he says, this is great. He says, I know what, I get so many shilas like this, he says. My mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, he says, is it a good shidduch? They don't ask me, you know, he's not a ben Torah, is it a good idea? They don't tell me, he's like, doesn't have good midos. That's much more of a problem. He says, that you don't worry about, or the midos, or the Torah, oh, the name of the daughter-in-law, the mother-in-law. He says, you have to, this is the hierarchy of values of the Bihut Teshuva. You have to know what's important in life. You have to know what's. He says, Keely says, to give it, to marry off their daughter to somebody, the Torah Maharek, that's fine. But if they have the same name as the Mamluk, oh, that's for sure. He says you have to know what the values are. That's at the end of his tshuva there in 14. Yeah.
What if we live like Jewish issues where someone's Rishon Arasim?
What?
Jewish issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rishon Arasim has to get each other to do
okay, so it depends on that. If you have different gersos in the Gemara, okay, then you go. Sometimes, that's okay, my focus we shown is based on two different gersos in the Gemara. Nothing to do about that. That's not arguing the Gemara, that's just a different version. Different version of the Gemara.
How do you understand the possibility that different versions of what would happen?
That's a good question. That's a general issue about what do we do with different gersos. Right, was there, we like to say it's not a mistake. Like to say maybe do a different versions, edited at different times, and they thought, say that they thought different things, you don't know which one was the last. Even in the Rambam, there are different, you know, different Rambams, different Kisayana the Rambam. But you're right, that's a good issue, that we don't really have a clear-cut answer. Okay, so this is Ksivas HaMishnah, important stage, 2000, and Avraham Avinu, and Rashi, and the Marsha. And then we have the Nisrama, and the Gemara, the Nodeh Yehuda. There's even, this will make us feel a little good, but not fully. Right, there's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, it's a very scary Mishnah if you take a Kipshuta. Right, source 15. Rabbi Meir says, Kol HaShokeach Tav HaRechami Mishnaso, Ma'al HaKasuk Kilo Meskai Benasha. Right, if you forget any of your learning, bad news. That's pretty intense. Now, if you forget, Kol HaShokeach Tav HaRechami Mishnaso. Right, I don't know, I forget a lot. Right? Chayev Misa. So, the first you explained, maybe it means only if it's on, like on purpose. Like you don't try to hazard, you don't try to remember, you try to remember, you forget. Okay, what can we do? Try to remember as much as we can. But maybe it means something more actively forgetting. But the Griz Karav says, in Source 16, the Griz. We just quoted Ramosha Salvation before. What was their relationship between Ramosha and Griz Karav?
Brothers.
They were brothers. They're brothers, right? Rabbi Yitzchak Zev, they were sons of Rabbi Chaim. Right, the Brisker Rav was the Rav's uncle. Right, the Rav gave a hesped for the Brisker Rav. It's printed. It's called Ma Dodeh Midod, which is really a line in Pirkei Avos, which means my beloved. Right, a dod is a beloved. But he had a play on words because a dod is also uncle. Right, so let me tell you about my uncle. Ma Dodeh Midod. Right, the Rav gave a hesped about the Brisker Rav, 1950 or so. But anyway, so the Brisker Rav quotes from Chaim Golazhin, who says the whole idea of Shokhev Tavrachim Mishnaso doesn't mean us. It only meant Bisman, that Torah Shebal Peh was being created, and if it wasn't, if you forgot something, it was gone forever. One of the Yesodos of Torah Shebal Peh, that means Bisman of Gemara. But once the Gemara was formulated, no, if we forget something, okay. Okay, it doesn't affect Klal Yisrael. But the Gemara is the Gemara. And that's why earlier it was even more important for them when they listened to the Rebbeim, they wrote stuff down, they had notes, they had to remember. I think I mentioned this before, but it's really, it's a gruff that when Ravina and Ravashi finished writing the Gemara, they sent it up to Shammai to kind of get God's stamp of approval. This is the basis of Torah Shebal Peh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent it back down. I mentioned this before. Right. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent it back down with the Malachim, Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel. Sent it back down, and the Malachim brought it to us to tell us that this is it. This is the ground zero of Torah Shebal Peh. Gemara. Right? Gabriel, Michael, Raphael, and Uriel. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down, you know, the Gemara. That's why it's called Gemara. The Gemara just means to learn. Right, set it down, you know, so that we will know that this is it. This is the Torah Shebal Peh, the basis. Okay, so this is Mishnah Gemara. Is that it? Are we done? Can we like now argue on Gaonim and on Rishonim? I mean, might not be a good idea, but that's a machlokas. It's a machlokas about Gaonim. Gaonim, we hardly have anything from Gaonim, but if you look in the Rush. I give you the Rush. I didn't give you the Rush. But there's a Rush in Sanhedrin that talks about the machlokas between the Balamar and the Raivin, whether Rishonim are allowed to argue on Gaonim. Right, Gaonim or after. so it wasn't a specific stage, but do you say that every stage is another stage in the halachic in the halachic Masorah? So related to that, this is Rabbi Yaakov, and with this we'll finish up the sugya, and then we'll have something on the parsha. There's a Gemara in Tmura, Where's Tmura? Kachi. Right? Says the Gemara in Tmura, Dach Tazayin, Surah 17. Amar Avila Marav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. Remember Rav Yehuda, the Talmud of Rav, and then the Talmud of Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav. B'shosh nifter Moshe l'gan Eden. When Moshe was about to die, Amar lo Yeshua, he says to Yeshua, Sha'am v'ene kol sveikos she'ish l'cha. Yeshua, you have any sveikos? You have any questions? Ask me. You know, it's my 120th birthday. Not much time left. So if any questions to ask before I leave? So Yeshua says, no. I haven't left your side in 40 years. You know, it's, I don't know of anything. I stayed at the foot of the mountain when you went up for 40 days, which ended up being 120 days. I have nothing to ask. The Gemara says Moshe died, and Yeshua been doing 300 sfeikos. And the Gemara says that the Am was about to kill him, and then and Tachanish Baruch Hu revealed himself. Very unusual Gemara, right? It sounds like Yeshua was being faulted here. And like, why was he being faulted? He didn't have any sfeikos. He didn't have any questions. He says, "Look, asafta bi." It's a fascinating lashon, right? Yeshua says to Moshe, "Didn't you write about me in the Torah? Lo yamish mitocha ohel. I never left your side." So like, I don't have any questions. And miyad, Yeshua got weak, and he forgot 300 halachas, and he had 700 sveikas, and they were all going to kill him. What's the message of that Gemara? He didn't have any questions. Yeshua didn't have any doubts. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in 18, he says there was one message that Yeshua didn't need to learn. He didn't have any sveikas, that's true. He didn't have any questions, details of questions. But there was something that he and Melech, all of us, had to learn. And that's the concept of, somebody said before, the Ridas Hadoros. The concept that really, even though there's not a halachic stage like that by the Mishnah and the Gemara, but really every generation is one step closer. Or one step further, I should say, from Har Sinai. And every generation that's further removed is a little more diluted. And therefore, one has to be very, very careful in terms of who you argue on. And again, if you're one of the Doli Ador, Mela, it says of Yaakov, that's the message that Yeshua didn't know how to learn. He had to learn the concept of, you know, Moshe came to Rabbi Sinai is different than Yisrael Yeshua. Yeshua didn't realize it at the time. He said, Moshe, I have no sveikas, I have no questions. But right when Moshe died, that had to be taught to us. He says, that's what the Rabbi Yaakov says. To the bottom of the column. Behind me, Shakan Moshe Belamdo, a cloud goggle shall come to see us at Kufos. Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us the principle of stages of generations. So again, I don't think it's halakhically as defining as Mishnah and Gemara, but I would say there's more. I would say for many of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch was a pretty big defining stage. You know, to argue on. You know, if all the Rishonim like say something, what's in the Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch was the one that, you know, that defined, that set the table, literally. Set the table for Klal Yisrael. Right, the Shulchan Aruch, he set the table. Interesting, it says on the Keber of Yosef Cairo in Sfat, it says that, you know, he was involved in the whole Smicha controversy. Remember, they just did the Smicha they tried to restart the Smicha. So it wasn't accepted. Right? It wasn't accepted because most of the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael could agree, and only the rabbis of Sfat agreed. The rabbis of Yerushalayim did not agree. So it didn't work. But it says on the Kever, but he ended up being the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. Even though technically Smicha wasn't given to him, it didn't work, but who's the Rebbe of Klal? Who wrote the Shulchan Aruch? You know, he's the one that set down Halacha. Again, the Ramah added on for Ashkenazi, but that's what gives us guys. That was also another stage to think about. So we have the Mishnah, we have the Gemara, different stages. Anyway, okay, so this is an important topic to know about. Interesting. There's some other sources, but I just want to give you one or two things on the parsha. So you have space on the bottom and the back. If you want to write this, or is there an answer? So there is a Rashi.
A Rashi that maybe sometimes we gloss over.
You look it up in the Rashi. The end of the Parsha. The end of the Parsha, we have Maim Bet Har Sinai, take two. Mishpatim. Perachav Dalet. Right, last week we had the lightning and thunder and Kolos Ubrachim, and what do we have this week? We have a little more, Karbanos. Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu brought Karbanos and he made a sefer at Bris B'Klal Yisrael. But the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu took the animals, shechted them. He shechted the animals. Again, I don't know the Pasuk. You know what? I can look it up. Whatever, I have to look it up. He shechted the animals, and then it says the following. He took half the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and half the blood and sprinkled it on the Mizbeach. That's what the Pasuk says. He shechted the animals, and then he took half the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and half the blood sprinkled it on the Mizbeach. So Rashi, he asks a simple question. Who split the blood in half? The Pasuk says that Moshe shechted and then took half the blood and sprinkled on the arm, half the blood and sprinkled on the Mizbeach. Who split the blood in half?
You know what the answer should be? What are you talking about? Moshe split the blood in half.
Okay, so that detail is not said in the Torah. What's the big deal? Just split the blood in half. What kind of question is that? Mi chalako, Rashi says. Who split the blood? And Rashi's answer is? B'malach v'chilko. A malach came down from Shemayim and split the blood in half.
Wow. You need the malach to split the blood in half?
What's going on here? What's Rashi asking? Again, he took half the blood. You know, why did he need a malach to split the blood in half? So says Rav Putner. What's the message of splitting half the blood on the Mizbeach and half the blood on the people? Says Rav Putner, this was Maimon Har Sinai. Hashem was making a covenant with us regarding Ben Adam HaMakom and Ben Adam HaKadosh. Half the blood on the Mizbeach, Ben Adam HaMakom.
Half the blood on the people, Ben Adam HaKadosh.
Lest anyone in history ever say that one is more important than the other, a malach came down and split the blood in half. Exactly. Was it even Moshe Rabbeinu? A malach came down and split the blood in half. And then Rav Putner has this amazing line. Says Rav Putner, the greatness of Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen from Rabbi was not that he wrote the Sefer Chafetz Chaim and Shemir Salah Shalom Mitzvos Ben Adam Lachaveiro. And not that he wrote the Sefer Mishneh Berurah on this of another Lamako. The Galus of Yisrael Meir HaKohen from Rabbi is that the same author penned both works. That you could have the same author that writes a Mishneh Berurah and writes a Chafetz Chaim. Ben Adam HaMakom, Ben Adam HaKhaveiro. You know, many times in history we meet, there are those that are more makpid on one more than the other. He's very makpid about tzitzis and tefillin and davening, and Ben Adam HaKhaveiro is, cut some corners. And there are other people that are great and nice and wonderful. But, mitzvahs, a little tzarchi and, davening and tefillin and, let's just be nice. The godless, says the butchers, it's a package deal. Ben Adam HaKhaveiro. So again, why do you start to split? The malach came and split. Because that's the package deal. Ben Adam HaMakom, Ben Adam HaKhaveiro. Okay, one idea. One other idea. So many mesechtes. Mishpatim is like Baba Kama and Rabban Zvi. Everything's in Mishpatim. One other time. Throughout Ve'ela HaMishpatim. You got a vav there. What's the Ve'ela? These are also from Har Sinai. Right, these are also from Har Sinai, not just everything listed in Yisrael, but these are also from Har Sinai. What's the message of Vidya? So in Bava Metzia, I'm sorry, Bava Metzia, in Mishpatim, there are a lot of different mitzvahs. All like miscellaneous, I don't know how many mitzvahs are in Mishpatim, I don't remember, but many. Beit Adam L'Malka, Beit Adam L'Chaviro, right, 53? Okay, that's big. Not the most. Not the most. Right. MRI is like 60-something, and what is the most? Kiseitse. Our verse of parasha. Right, 74. 74 mitzvahs in one parasha. Unbelievable. Anyway. Re'ei Shoftim and Kiseitse have about 1/6 of all mitzvahs. Well, those three parashas together. Re'ei Shoftim and Kiseitse. Anyway, so Ve'ele. What's the Ve'ele? Everything is from Har Sinai. All of Mishpatim. Right, you might think that some of these just make a lot of sense, and they're logical, and some of the damages. No, no, no. The Vav of the Bikra Parsha says that everything's from Har Sinai. And this relates to the first Rav Bar Tanura in Pirkei Avos. Or the first Rav in Pirkei Avos asks, right, Moshe Kibbutz Rav Sinai and Sorbel Yeshua, where we just spoke about Mitzorah. The Rav asks, what is that Mishnah doing at the beginning of Pirkei Avos? Well, this Rav, it's a beautiful Mishnah. But why is it at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, which is all the way at the end of Seder Nezikim? Where should this Mishnah be? The beginning of Brachas. Moshe Kibbutz Rav Sinai, the beginning of the Mesorah. Put it at the beginning of Brachas. Why is it all the way at the beginning of Pirkei Avos? After four Siddurim. Says the Rav Bar Tanura. You don't need Moshe Kibbutz Rav Sinai at the beginning of Brachas. Or at the beginning of Erevin. Or Tmura or Krisis. Who else may have these halachas? Obviously it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Kibbutz Rav Sinai. But at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, which is all about smile when you meet somebody, who is the one who's really rich, who's happy with his lot, all these nice ethical statements, nothing to do with halacha. So one might think that those were humanly written. Every nation has their ethicists. So these Pirkei Avos was a human author. Moshe Kibbutz Rav Sinai. Rabbi Tigura says, no. Everything's from Har Sinai. Because, you know, you could, if it's not based on Har Sinai, then, you know, what's unethical can become ethical very quickly. And there's a slippery slope in ethics that, you know, we're living in a time period and in a world where anything goes. Anything goes. So we have to recognize everything's from Har Sinai. That's the vav at the beginning of the parsha. Right, not just tefillin and Shabbos and Kashrus. Everything. What's in Mishpatim, the Avos Nezikin and the Shomrim. Right, all the Bavis and Sanhedrin. Right, it's all in Mishpatim because everything that we do comes from our Sinai. That's the source of everything. So we have to recognize that as we, as we go through all of these parashiyos and. You got to push in the Rashi's this week, guys. Got to push in the Rashi's. Don't give up. Right, and again, the first couple of Aliyahs are really long, but just get through it. Just get through it. This Parsha, I mean, the grace is gracious. So Mishpatim separates again from the men from the boys. You got to get a running start before you get the Truma Tetzaveh later on, but just keep pushing through. Okay, we'll stop here. Everybody have a great Shabbat. Sunday we start. Fuck, see ya. Shkoyah.